I hope you will listen attentively. You must do that, or you'll misinterpret what I'm about to say. Whenever a minister has disclaimers at the beginning, you know we're in trouble. For some of you, you might have to put your fingers in the ears of your children when I get to some parts. But really today, kids know more than we think they know. I've entitled the message, in the light of Valentine's Day coming up, When a Man Loves a Woman. When a man loves a woman. If you remember that song, the second verse of that song that follows says, when a man loves a woman, he can't keep his mind on nothing else. Amen. I'm glad I got amen. Thanks, Joe. Never truer words. And you may not believe this, but I happen to believe that the presidential election was won or lost on these very words. Think about that. And I'd like to use the Bible to back up what I'm talking about. And I want to say to you today, if you turn to Genesis chapter 2, as we go there and look at a few passages, a few verses, that God is good all the time. And God came up with something that was genius. No, in fact, it was not genius, it was divine. For God's greatest relationship, form of relationship, was set up at the very beginning. And so God ordained when a man loves a woman. And God said in Genesis chapter 2 that it was not good for man to be alone. And so God had Adam name all the animals. And the Bible says that they brought the animals to Adam in verse 19 of chapter 2. And whatever he called them, that was their name. He gave them the name. And I happen to believe that when the animals were paraded before Adam, that they were paraded in pairs. For it gave Adam an opportunity to look and say, I've not found a helpmeet. I've not found somebody for myself. And so Adam recognized his loneliness. He recognized his longing for a partner. And then in verse 21 of chapter 2 of Genesis, the Bible says that God performed the first surgery. And then in chapter verse 23 of the same chapter, I want you to note this. And after the creation of Adam and Eve, and after Eve was taken out of the side of Adam, look what the Bible has to say. Look how Adam reacted. I said, when a man loves a woman, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called what, everybody? Woman, because she was taken out of who? And the Bible goes on to say, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be two flesh. Okay, I have to check to see if you're awake. One flesh, the Bible says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were ashamed. Okay, they were not ashamed. Thank God for that. The original language says, and some of you may have Bibles that have commentary with them, and it says that when Adam pronounced this, he says, at last, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. You see, Adam saw somebody who was just like him. He saw someone who looked like him, and so he called the name that matches his own, woman, somebody perfectly suited for him. They were suited for each other. So society started with a relationship that was higher than the animals. Are you with me? And so God, in his wisdom, designed the relation of the sexes. And so I believe that the Bible teaches that the highest and the purest and the noblest of all relationships is man and woman. Y'all said that kind of weak. Do you believe that? I honestly believe that the Bible teaches that the highest and the purest and the noblest of all human relationships is a man and a woman. When a man loves a woman, and then God puts his imprint on the marriage service he brings to Eve, to Adam, and it says that a man is to leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh, and society reverses that. We think of the woman as leaving her home. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says a man is to leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. And the man leaves the home and joins to a new home. The body that was once divided becomes one again. She who is a part of him is now by his side. She came out of him, and then they joined together in marriage as one. The moment that they first make love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Oh, you knew, I know you're uncomfortable. You'll be all right. You see, love making is God's design. It's the highest relationship. Man and woman. Exclusively man and woman. It's to be lifelong. In society today, they have all kinds of ideas about what lovemaking is. Between man and man, woman and woman. And the Bible says, when a man loves a woman, that's God's plan. So what happened? Genesis chapter 3, sin came in. You remember the story? Adam was afraid of losing his wife. He loved Eve. He couldn't bear to be apart from her. And so as she stood before him with that fruit in her hand and looked as beautiful and as innocent as ever, and it didn't appear to be any mark of death on her, he says, I'll brave the consequence. He seized the fruit, the prophet says, and he quickly ate it. And it says when he seized the fruit and he ate it, he said he imagined himself entering upon a higher plane, a higher state of existence. But patriarchs and prophets said, but the love and peace which had been theirs was gone. Let me share some insights. What happened after this event? How things got twisted. You see, God's plan is when a man loves a woman, he finds in her warmth, safety. I mean, it's like he's wrapped up in a baby's blanket. She has his rhythm and he has hers. And they're playing music together. But then trust goes away because of sin. And when there is no trust, man's heart goes into a lockdown. And trust is the root of love for a man. And he needs to trust that her motives are right. And because of so much that we see in this world, and because men and women sometimes, and what I'm speaking in a general terms, these things can apply to both male and female, but in a general sense, because we approach things differently, we misunderstand each other's motives. And when we do that, and there's trust is gone because of sin in this world, we find ourselves not secure. And when we're not secure, do we open up or do we shut down? That's right, Dad. Thank you. We shut down. And we withdraw. And we put our guards up. Not only that, the trust causes motives to be misunderstood. But a man needs to be able to trust the lady that he loves sexually. Uh-oh, I said the word. Did some of you wake up when I said sex? He needs to be able to trust her sexually. He needs to know that the wife that he's married wants him and him alone. No roving eyes. He needs to know, ladies, that he's pleasing you. No acting, no faking. He needs to know that. And ladies, young ladies that are not married, if you don't know this, I'm going to tell you this. If you do not think sex is important to men and women, but especially to men, you're not ready to get married. Amen. Thanks, Dad. I knew I'd get one amen. And I know you know this, ladies. We're very fragile. Guys are. You know that, right? You don't have to say amen to that, but I know you know that. Sometimes it's like walking on eggshells. It's because of the trust issue. And so you find in life, because of the twistedness, because of sin, you find that it's easier for us, and I know it for me, it's easier for me to give money and advice and even my body. But my heart, now that's different. Men will give you their bodies gladly. They'll fondle you on the first date. And will not make a commitment to you. Some men, not here. Anything that requires that they offer up their heart terrifies them. If you offer them unending sex, they'll tell you that they love you. But if you offer them your love, they stagger back in fear and terror. And so we have a whole generation now, a whole world. Ladies, you need to listen to this. Of people having sex and thinking that they're getting love. Ladies, I would admonish you, those that are not married, do not share sex with him without him sharing his heart. And that requires commitment. That requires marriage. Now, society is not going to tell you this. And this should be the place where we're telling you that this is the truth. If your parents don't tell you this, I can guarantee you society will not tell you this. It's twisted today. And ladies, if you're easy, you will lose worth in the eyes of your man. Ladies, you need to know to value not only your body, but your heart. How do I know this? Because I'll tell you. Guys will do all kinds of stuff, but when it comes to marriage, they want to find a person with the best values that they can find. Amen? I know I'm going to get beat up. I need a bodyguard at the door, all right? And you know what's going on? We're looking for a higher relationship, the one that God set up. We're looking for, and we're looking for it in an environment of sin. And we're thinking just like Adam, that after sin, something extraordinary happened in us. And we look for it in all the wrong places. And so, because it's so twisted, we have people doing the down low. And I won't say any more about it. We have men thinking that the higher relationship is with another man. We have women who are thinking that the higher relationship is with another woman. And we have people who are in authority bothering children. And loved ones abusing kids. And we have well-meaning people who are standing on the steps of the courthouse in San Francisco and San Diego and other places, believing that they have found the higher relationship. I say there's a higher one. And it's the one that Jesus set up a long time ago. And then not only do we need to deal with motives and issues of sexuality, but this is an issue that faces me and maybe some of you, and it causes tension. We need to trust that ladies will not change. And that doesn't make sense. The issue that I've gotten into is whenever my wife changes her hairstyle, I because I don't want change. I want her looking the same way she was when we married 30-some years ago. But styles have changed, correct? That's unrealistic. I don't look anything like when we first got married, I can assure you. And so we don't want change. But what we're saying, in essence, I want consistency. I want you not to abandon me in the middle of a crisis. I want you to be there for me. But you know what? Most of all, the change comes, and we know it. It's the emotional changes that happen to couples. The devil plays on this. This is the same lady that every place you went, she was right up under you. I mean, you were like two peas in a pod. 30 years later, if you put your toe on her side of the bed, you're in trouble. Come on, somebody say amen. Those kinds of emotional changes devastate us. Devil will. Have you heard of people been married for 30, 40 years breaking up? Just didn't happen. There were emotional having you question your relationship. How do we fix this? I could have gone on and on, but I don't have the time. The answer to this, no doubt, ladies, we love you. We're trying to operate now in a world of sin. But the answer is in the Word of God still. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, you don't have to turn there, you know it. This passage that we read and we know about, we need to love like Christ. That's the answer. Love like Christ, love the church. And Christ gave himself for the church. He did everything for the church. Every mile he traveled, every breath he took, every word he spoke was to serve the church. He put the church first. Even gave his own life. You see, Adam's error was, and I do this, and many people do this, you can't love just because a person is beautiful. You can't love just because a person is smart. You can't love just because a person is fun to be with. Now, I hope you have all of those things, but you can't love just for that. Someone has said that Christ loved us not because of anything. What's the implication of that? The implication is that one day we may not be as beautiful as we once were. May not be as smart. Any number of things can happen. But do you know that Jesus still loves us? He never stops loving us. I don't care how old you get, how your body deteriorates, Christ never stops loving us. And if Adam would have thought of serving Eve, he would have been all right. Two men, several weeks ago, had an encounter. Both of them loved their women. When a man loves a woman. One was 25-year-old Juan Manuel Alvarez. He loved his wife, but he was separated from her for 3 months. She had a court order placed on him, so he would not be around, but he wanted to see her anyway. So 6 a.m. in the morning, he parked his Jeep Cherokee on the Metrolink track in order to kill himself. The last minute, he changed his mind, and they said it was sound like something was dragging. And all of a sudden, the lights went out on the train, and the train jerked to a stop. The passenger said it was terrible. I could hear people crying, and people were covered with blood. You see, Juan Alvarez, he said that he loved his woman, but he was all about himself. And then there's John Phipps. He got up in the morning. He went to work a little earlier than normal at the aerospace plant in Burbank. He normally wouldn't have taken that early train, but he went in for something, and so he took that early train. Went upstairs of the double-decker train and went to sleep. And he woke up feeling a mist on his face. And 44-year-old John Phipps looked around, and he saw broken bits of the train. He touched the back of his head, and his hands were covered with blood. He called out for help, but no one came to help him. And he was trapped. And so he started singing, and I didn't know this song, but the record says he started singing this song, "Why Me, Lord?" He saw an upended seat, and he decided that he may not make it, so he wanted to write a message with his bloody hand. And he scrolled the words, "I heart Leslie," in blood. When a man loves a woman, let me tell you something, men, this is a secret that the world won't tell you. I'll tell it to you today. I think you already know. Little known secret about women. Women, you can beat me up at the door too and let me know if I'm on target. There's somebody in a woman's life that no one can touch but him. No one can compare to him. He knows how to comfort like no one else. He knows every pain and every weakness. There'll be some who will disappoint you in life, but he will never disappoint you. He'll heal the scars that life have inflicted. He'll whisper the wisdom that causes her to finally go to sleep at night and rest. You can't be jealous of this person, because this person is God. If a man truly loves a woman, he will help his woman find God. See, God is the ultimate source of fulfillment. Without divulging too much, my many years of counseling in the military without a counseling degree, that's how the military uses us. You just cannot imagine all of the couples and the cases that came to me having to do with people, religious young ladies or spiritual young ladies who married men who were not spiritual, and the problems that it caused. I just can't begin to tell you. Just trust me on that. I don't know what it is, but God has put in the hearts of our ladies a desire to know him in a very real way. And I would say that, men, if you would give your heart to your woman's Lord, you'll see a change in your relationship as a couple. The Lord will cause your woman to love you even more. And I would say, ladies, when you have such a man who has given his heart to the Lord, thank God. Realize what you have. Amen. Don't be playing that. Don't put your toe over here stuff. I'm just being very nice. I can't say how I want to say it. If you got a man that loves the Lord, take care of that man. Amen. Stop all the excuses and all of the stuff. You say, why am I saying all this? Let me tell you as I close. I always have to tell something about my personal life. You guys are going to know everything there is to know about me. As my father was dying, and I was in Nebraska at the time, and so we rushed to be by his side in the hospital. My dad had continual hiccups. Some of you doctors can probably give me some ideas on what causes that, but he was just, it just could not stop with the hiccups. And he had a number of problems that were heart-related and so on. And as he was dying, and he knew he didn't have long to live, and he did something that I had never heard him do. We were in the room at the time. He looked over at my mother, and he said, "Josie, I love you." And he started crying. And he said it several times. I had never heard my father tell my mother that he loved her until that point as he was dying. He meant it too. He meant it with all his heart. But he was so pent up all of the years. He had so been captured by what we're captured by not expressing ourselves. He shouldn't have waited till he was on his dying bed to have us hear that. I'm glad he did, but I wish he hadn't waited so long. Because it impacts me. Ladies, we love you. I honestly believe we do. Amen. Do we tell you? No. Should we tell you? Yes. Would Christ tell us? He has. By dying for you and I. Ladies, here in Fallbrook, I want you to know that from now on in Fallbrook, the men, we got your back. We're behind you. Men, do you believe that? Would you like to stand with me and make a commitment and let the ladies know that you're behind them? Thank you. I see the men standing. Thank you. These are men after the heart of Adam. Adam says, "At last, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." And I want to end with this thought. For our young men, I'm not sure what we're doing, how we're developing you. But my prayer is that young men would be young men. I'm disturbed by the fact that ladies can't find young men because young men don't even have the courage to make the move. Come on, am I telling the truth? I think we're developing young men. Like, young men, I want you to stand up, and as you grow up, and you see a nice young lady in the church, be a gentleman and go to her. Everybody doesn't need to be sister and brother in the church. Am I right? The ladies want a nice young Christian man, and our young men don't have the backbone to go up and speak to somebody that they know they like. Amen? I want you to start doing that. God, that's God's highest and purest and noblest relationship. You don't ever have to be ashamed. Amen? That's what God's ideal. And so what happens when we do not do that, we have to have relationships with somebody. And devil will make sure it's the wrong person. We don't want to fall for that. We want the highest. Amen? That's what we want to be. Thank you, men, for standing. I want to pray. The men, we're standing to pray for you, ladies, to let you know that we are behind you. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for these men. Lord, how blessed this church is to have so many men strong men, men of God. Perfect men? No, not a one of us. Do we love you? Yes, we do. Are we guided by your Holy Spirit? Yes, we are. Do we need you even more than ever before? Yes, we do. In this world, when there's so much stuff out there, putting so much into our heads, let us cherish the relationships that we have. And may we help them to grow even more. And as a result, our young people will see the kind of homes we have, the kind of relationships we've formed as husband and wife, and they will want to do the same. We thank you, we praise your name, and we ask for your Holy Spirit to give understanding to this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Are we still friends? Thank you, man. You may sit down. I'm going to beat up on the ladies another time. Amen.